This is Radio Superior 1953, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the campfire. It's Monday, July 27th, 1953. Lou Martin has the news that the Korean War is over, so we have a special hour-long program tonight taking in all his many news stories.
One many would have sufficed.
We also have George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty, Jay Fisher with the Labor News, Nurse Fiske is into appeal for more nurses, an appeal I always second if my wife can't hear me. Rapid Ray has sports, and the Colonel is in for some reason, too.
He always hops on the bandwagon.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Kappus Erickson of Superior. They have a 1951 Plymouth light blue four-door with radio, air conditioning, and heater, and turn signals for only $1,387. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. The shooting has stopped. GILs greet the ceasefire, while red guns roar to the bitter end. We begin our world report from Korea.
Hello, this is Max Jordan in Seoul. Shooting stopped along the Korean battlefront at 10 p.m. tonight, bringing to an abrupt halt 37 months of death and destruction. Ground fighting was all but nil in the final hours. Communist artillery fire took its toll of Allied soldiers up to the last minute. At 10 p.m., a hush fell over the front. The last man to die may never be named, nor perhaps will the last hero. The front, usually aflame at this hour of night, just grew dark. Men heaved sighs of relief, but with great caution. Last reported barrage, the final one of the Korean War on the Central Front, lifted at 9:43 p.m. The fighting there at last ended in sight. AP correspondent John Randolph says the ceasefire came on the Central Front amid silence after a smashing artillery duel between Allied and Red guns that began in mid-afternoon and built up a deafening crescendo shortly before 10 p.m. A few seconds after 10 p.m., wild yells broke out from American GI. Even as the shooting ended, jeeps and ambulances wound down dusty hills from outpost ridges, bringing moaning, broken men to rear hospitals. Randolph reported that between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., a U.S. division east of Kumwa had been hit by 3,000 rounds of Chinese artillery. Elsewhere on the 150-mile front, anxious silence shattered by sporadic shelling or machine gun bursts fell over the bunkers and trenches where troops awaited the ceasefire. During the last hours, 5th Air Force, Marine, and carrier-based planes unloaded bombs on Red troops and supply concentrations in the Kumsong Bulge sector. Reds will get to keep a few miles won at a staggering cost of human life. Map released by the United Nations Command after the armistice signing showed the Reds were given almost all of the Kumsong Bulge, plus some other ridges and outposts whose names became infamous because of bitter fighting. Finger Ridge and Heartbreak Ridge and Old Baldy all went to the Communists. Both armies are to pull back 1.25 miles within 72 hours, creating a demilitarized zone. Now the diplomats take over in an attempt to bring lasting peace to this war-torn land. In Seoul, this is Max Jordan.
This is Ban Moon-jeon, Daryl Berrigan reporting. Official ceasefire halted the Korean War at 10 p.m., 12 hours after armistice was signed at Panmunjom. Quiet blankets, the battlefront after 3 years, 1 month, and 2 days of bloody combat, and history's longest truce negotiation. The armistice, signed in an 11-minute ceremony at Panmunjom by top negotiators. Military commanders each sign half of the 28 copies, then trade and sign the other half. Exchange of more than 100,000 prisoners of war probably starts within the week. Reds say they'll free 12,736 POWs, including 3,313 Americans. UN command will return about 69,000 North Koreans and 5,000 Chinese. The Joint Military Armistice Commission, charged with supervision of the truce, will hold their first meeting on Tuesday in Panmunjom. Within 72 hours of the ceasefire, both parties will pull back 1.25 miles to create a 2.5-mile buffer zone across Korea. Chinese Taiping Radio boasts that communists won glorious victory and cautions red troops to remain on guard. UN Commander General Mark Clark tells the Army there will be no immediate or even early withdrawals from Korea. 8th Army Commander General Maxwell Taylor says the truce is just a suspension of hostilities. South Korea's President, Syngman Rhee, says his nation will not disrupt the truce, but he is sure the armistice will prove to be the prelude to more war. General Clark's headquarters said it has been instructed by President Eisenhower to start sending 10,000 tons of food to South Korea. It says reserve military food stocks in Korea and Japan would be used. In Panmunjom, along the 38th parallel, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting.
This is James Marlowe, Associated Press, Washington. Today, just in case things go sour later on, is a good time to ask yourself where you stand on a Korean truce in July 1953. 5 years from now, because of what happened by then, you may be saying, "We should have tried to whip the Chinese in 1953. There never should have been an armistice." You'd have the benefit of hindsight then. All you know now is that a truce may turn out well or may be the starting point of communist successes and American disasters. A truce stopped the killing temporarily, anyway. War against China might lead to world war, or so it seems now. There were some practical considerations as well as the moral compulsion to save lives in seeking a truce and to seek peaceful solutions of world problems. There is a grim possibility that, through communist expansion short of war and a breakup of the alliances between the United States and its friends, this country might never again be as strong as it is now for waging world war. Should history show this truce was a tragic mistake by the Eisenhower and Truman administrations, both no doubt will get blamed for it. There is already pessimism in this country about the value of the truce. What would you do? In Washington, this is James Marlowe.
This is the nation's capital, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Practically to a man, members of Congress who commented on the signing of the Korean armistice said it's wonderful. But what of the future? Wisconsin Republican Senator Alexander Wiley says, quote, "We have only opened a new chapter in a long book, the fight for peace," unquote. Others, like Republican House Armed Services Committee Chairman Dewey Short of Missouri, are more pessimistic. Short says he is anything but pleased. Democrats like Senate Minority Leader Lyndon Johnson of Texas and Assistant House Leader John McCormick of Massachusetts called for vigilance against any communist ruse during the post-truce period. Illinois Senator Paul Douglas says admission of Red China to the UN may well be the informal understanding that lies behind the whole armistice. However, Ohio Republican Congressman John Voorhees, appearing on the CBS television program with Douglas, says he would be very surprised if that was the case. South Korea's UN representative, Colonel Ben C. Lim, says this is, quote, "nothing but a crumb of trash." He called on nations friendly to South Korea to work together if they are going to survive this evil of communist imperialism. Elsewhere, former President Truman issued a 2-sentence statement at his Independence, Missouri home. Quote, "I am certainly glad that the truce is signed. I sincerely hope, and I want to underline hope, that it means peace," unquote. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
West Berlin calling. Stan Turner reporting. More than 100,000 hungry East Germans swarmed into West Berlin to pick up free Western food today in a mass demonstration of communism's failure to feed its own people. They began lining up at dawn. The crowd grew by the hour, and by mid-afternoon, it looked as if the turnout would exceed the 120,000 people fed yesterday when the relief program, backed by a $15 million United States donation, began. The 2-day total approached the 250,000. Park. Thousands of volunteers worked through the night, making up the packages of fat, flour, dried vegetables, and canned milk. Before it ends in 2 weeks, the plan is expected to give parcels to more than 1 million East Zoners. Red propagandists shrilled and embarrassed rage, but the communists did not interfere. Except for an occasional check to keep people nervous, Red Border Police let them return unhindered through the Iron Curtain with their precious gifts. They came by the tens of thousands from far out in the Soviet zone. Many got up in the middle of the night and made long train rides, which cost them more than the 5 marks worth of food they were given. 5 marks is worth about $1.19. They came, they said, because they could not buy the food in their communist-run food stores at home with any amount of money. It simply wasn't there. Communism's program of collective farming and forced crop quotas plainly has failed. Thousands of farmers have fled to the West in fear and disgust. East German authorities have had to admit they can't even find enough farm workers to bring in this year's harvest. In West Berlin, this is Stan Turner.
This is Havana, Cuba. Gilman Halstead here. President Fulgencio Batista slapped martial law over Cuba today after crushing an attack by some 230 armed rebels on two army posts in eastern Cuba. 54 people were killed, including 35 of the attackers, 18 soldiers, and a police sergeant. The government accused former President Carlos Prio Socarrás, ousted by Batista's coup in March of 1952, of responsibility for the attacks. They began early Sunday on the Monchada Army Barracks at Santiago and a rural guard post in the nearby town of Bayamo. Barracks commander, Colonel Alberto Del Rio Chaviano, says the rebels hope to launch a revolution to oust Batista. From his Miami home in exile, Prio denied the charge. Havana remains quiet tonight while the cabinet suspended all constitutional guarantees for 90 days. This permits Batista and the army to rule unchecked. The attackers apparently wore uniforms similar to the U.S. Army. They used pistols, hand grenades, automatic rifles, and machine guns. The ammunition seized from the attackers had Montreal, Canada markings on it. In Havana, this is Gilman Halstead, International News Service.
This is D.C. Brisbane here. Senator Joseph McCarthy says Oklahoma Democratic Senator Mike Mulroney is covering up communism and corruption. McCarthy says this is a reply to a remark Mulroney made Sunday night on a television show. Mulroney says the record of the 83rd Congress has amounted to, quote, molehills of legislation and mountains of McCarthy, unquote. Mulroney told California Republican Senator William Fife Noland, who is acting as the Senate GOP leader in place of the ailing Robert Taft, that he is striving to forestall a one-man Senate. Noland wants no part of any move to throttle the investigating activities of McCarthy's committee. He is against gag rules and believes every Senate committee has the right and responsibility to govern its own actions. McCarthy says, quote, I don't think the people of Oklahoma hired Mulroney to act as a smearhead and gag artist. He should be earning his salary working for the people of America and Oklahoma instead of taking over the job to whitewash and cover up communism and corruption, unquote. In the nation's capital, this is Arthur Brisbane.
KUWS Radio News Time is 6:13. Tim Michaels has this word from Kappus Erickson.
You know, Dodge has a motto, we need not advertise our cars to hundreds who now buy them. Each ad we run is merely done to urge our friends to try them. Now, at Kappus Erickson and Superior Voya, they got some dandies for you. How about this? A 52 Dodge four-door sedan, beautiful metallic bronze finish, fluid drive, radio, seat covers, many, many hundreds of dollars, low mileage, only $16.95. A 51 Plymouth, Cranbrook four-door, light blue, radio, air conditioning, heater, turn signals, one owner, $13.87. And if you're really looking for a couple of bargains, how about a Chevy Fleetmaster four-door, two-tone tan, radio, A1 motor, $7.37, or a 42 Olds, four-door, tires, motor, body is okay, $150. Kappus Erickson with their open evenings, and they're at 1818 Ogden in Superior. Lou?
Ulu farmhand Ino Hermanson will spend 2 years at the Wapaw State Prison for assault. Bayfield County Circuit Judge Lewis J. Charles passed the sentence today. A week ago, he pled guilty. On July the 9th, he waived examination before Judge J.P. Savage of Iron River following his arrest after a three-day search for the man in the Ulu Woods. Hermanson is charged with assault against Ulu farmer Erlen Bartonen at his home. It was described as an action evincing a depraved mind. Hermanson shot the lock off the door of the Bartonen home during his fracas. Increased vigilance by police will be given at the Tri-State Fairgrounds. Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan says stern measures will be taken with anyone caught causing any damage to the grounds. Douglas County Undersheriff Louis Bannick left this morning for Milwaukee to bring two suspects back to Superior. They're accused of burglarizing the Gust beer maker distributing company beer warehouse last week. The pair were arrested in Milwaukee yesterday. They escaped with $180, leaving behind crude safe-cracking tools. A new commission is studying the best place to build the proposed Duluth Superior High Bridge. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the latest.
Wisconsin will get good representation in this commission, Lou. Senator Arthur Lenroot of Superior was named chairman of the Joint High Bridge Commission of two states today at a meeting of Wisconsin and Minnesota legislators in the Androy Hotel. Assemblyman Lawrence Hagen of Superior was chosen chairman of the state commission and Assemblyman Raymond Peabody vice chairman. Serving with Lenroot on the joint commission will be Hagen and Minnesota Senator Gordon Butler of Duluth as vice chairman. A visit to the sites of the proposed bridge is being made this week. The joint commission is studying the vicinity of Hammond Tower and Banks Avenue and the Interstate Bridge site as possible locations. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. It was just 10 years ago today that fighter pilot ace Major Richard Vaughn achieved his title as the premier fighter ace of World War II. He did it in the South Pacific by bagging four Jap fighter planes in one mission. He shot down two Zeeks and two Tonys. A decade ago, 1 year ago on July the 26th, 1943, First Lieutenant Bong took over as the ace leadership in a spectacular battle with Jap planes over the Markham Valley. A pilot is considered an ace when he has five kills. Up to that time, he had 11 enemy planes to his credit, and his new total of 15 placed him undisputed at the head of the American aces. He ended up with 40 kills total at the end of his three combat tours of duty December 17, 1944. Today, Bong's name is once again making news. There's a move across the nation sparked by Superior Attorney Andy Borg and the VFW to raise $41,000 for a fitting Bong memorial. Let's hope for success, Tim.
The Bongs deserve it, Poplar deserves it, and it sure would be pretty hip to see a P-38 perch there. It's a cool bird.
Actually, the bird is more hot than cool. It was a fast and noisy fighter plane, and Major Bong loved it.
Cool means hot. Get hip with the jive talk, Daddy-O.
I really hate the thought of us being related, real or imagined. Stop calling me Daddy.
Oh, Daddy-O, Dad is Pop, and I'll never call you Pop.
Weather, please.
Lou Martin, as hip as news guys can get, forecast for this Monday, July 27th, 1953, calls for fair skies tonight, with a low of 58 degrees, sunshine tomorrow, and 75. Let's kick things off, campers, with Connie Francis and My Happiness on the Tim Michaels Evening Gather Round Show.
Evening shadows make me blue when each weary day is through. How I long to my happiness. Every day I reminisce, dreaming of your tender kiss, always thinking how I miss my happiness.
Connie Francis and My Happiness on KUWS. Hey, let's support the people who pay our bills, campers. Go to Joe Kimmis Oil Company for top volatility power mileage from high-quality economy gasoline. That's from your local mobile gas distributor, Joe Kimmis Oil Company, at 6327 Tower Avenue in Superior. Dial 4233. Some good stuff on the new tube tonight. Tune in to Superior and Duluth's first television station, WFTV Channel 38. There's Racket Squad, followed by Masquerade Party. Then News and View at 10 o'clock, and then my favorite, WFTV Armchair Theater. Get your best television from RCA Victor at Roth's Department Store. You can get a 21-inch Kirby RCA Victor TV, nice finished cabinet for $309, or their biggest screen, 27-inch Dobson, with nice mahogany cabinet, only $449. The lowest price RCA Victor TV is a 17-inch Wayne for $249. Call Pat Hanlon, Bill Johnson, Lloyd Boya, or Wally Score at 7711. RCA Victor TVs on the street floor of Roth's Department Store in Superior. Anyone surprised that the Dobson costs more than the Wayne? I wonder what they charge for a Lewis.
The Lou is reserved for kings and other world leaders.
By request or demand, I should say, since my father-in-law wants to hear it, let's hear from the Ames Brothers and Loch Lomond on the Evening Gather Round Show.
And by yon bonny braes, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever wont to go, on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Oh, you take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afore you. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny braes, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever wont to go, on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Oh, you take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be Scotland afore you. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
The Ames Brothers and Loch Lomond on KUWS.
Let me introduce Red Cross nurse Maud Fisk with an important message for you young women out there.
The colonel's here, too. Nurse Fisk and I have announcements that that kind of dovetail.
Nurse Fist?
And Colonel Joseph P. Ravelli, Douglas County Civil Defense Assistant, co-vice president in East End Division, Block 5.
Why is RCA naming their television sets after men?
Because women get hurricanes named after them. So nowadays, you can watch Hurricane Maud on an RCA Victor television.
Because naming a TV Nurse Fist would, well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
Anyway,
Mammy here has some important news, and so do I.
That's Maud, Corporal.
Colonel.
Young ladies, there's an urgent need for nurses in our nation's hospitals, and you will find it a rewarding career of compassion and assistance where you can make a difference in people's lives. Right now, the practical nursing class at the vocational school is full. But Mrs. Frances Klein, who is a registered nurse herself, and Mr. Carl Gulo of the vocational school are now taking applications for the fall course.
That was quick. Thanks, Nurse Maud Fisk of the Red Cross.
Maybe she's not done.
And she's not done, McMartin. Pay attention now, people. This is important for your very survival on this planet, as long as there are commies on board for the ride. Now, go ahead, Midge.
Maud. There's much more that every single woman needs to know in the civilian defense of our nation in case of a catastrophe like an atomic bomb attack.
Life and death stuff here, people.
Two new classes on home nursing will begin next Monday and Tuesday, and another Wednesday and Thursday at the vocational school. I'm here speaking for Nona McQuilkin, by the way. She's the Director of Warden Services for Civil Defense in Superior.
McCutcheon. Now that's a good name, McCutcheon.
Why didn't she come?
Not that we're not glad you're here.
I hate double negatives, McMartin.
Nona McQuilkin is far too busy to be bothered by radio interviews. She only does television interviews.
So home nursing is different than professional nursing.
It is, but it is as important as working in a doctor's office or a hospital. The Red Cross and the United States government believe home nursing skills are vital for our civil defense. We plan on training thousands of women as soon as we can. You see, in these days of modern atomic warfare or some other calamity, self-help is fundamental in civilian defense.
Fact is, everyone must be able to help themselves and their neighbors. So in a great emergency, those that have appropriate training in home nursing will have the best shot at survival.
Thank you, Red Cross nurse Miss Maud Fisk and Colonel Raffaele.
How come you only want women for nurses? What's wrong with men being nurses?
Leave it to McDougal to come up with an oddball question.
But don't you think if there is a shortage of nurses that men could help?
Men would then have to learn to take orders from women.
Which is ridiculous. And then there's the obvious. Men can't go around wearing white nylon stockings and white dresses and those funny little hats.
There's nothing funny about our hats.
Men nurses wouldn't wear white dresses, and you couldn't even see the white nylons under our pants.
Male nurses, men taking orders from women, people speaking French in Canada, the Lone Ranger taking orders from Tonto. I'll tell you right now, the world, it's upside down.
For the Colonel's world, there's Perry Como and Round and Round on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Find a wheel and it goes round, round, round as it skims along with a happy sound as it goes along the ground, ground, ground till it leads you to the one you love. Then your love will hold you round, round, round in your heart's a song with a brand new sound and your head go spinning round, round, round 'cause you found what you've been dreaming of. In the night you see the oval moon going round and round in two and the ball of sun in the day makes a girl and boy wanna say, find the ring,
find the ring,
and put it round, 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 and with ties so strong, the two hearts are bound, put it on, the one you found, 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 for you know that this is really love. Find a wee, and it goes round, 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 as it skims along, with a happy sound as it goes. Along the ground, 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 till it leads you to the one you love. Then your love will hold around, round, round, and your heart's a song. To the brand new sound, then your head go spinning round, 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 'cause you found what you've been dreaming of. In the night you see the overmoon going round and round in two, and the ball of sun in the day makes a girl and boy want to say, find the ring and put it round, 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 and the tie so strong, your two hearts are bound, put it on. The one you found, 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 for you know that this is really love. Find the ring, put it on, for you know that this is really love, really love, really love.
Perry Como and Round on KUWS.
Now Superior Federation of Labor Editor Jay Fisher.
Brothers and sisters in labor.
Do you think men can be nurses and take orders from women?
He's not here to talk about that.
I don't mind there, Lou. I means to tell you, men can make darn good nurses. Men are already doing that in the medical field as orderlies. No reason they can't be nurses. As for men taking orders from women, hey, you betcha. They call that marriage.
Amazing how he can be enlightened and sexist in the course of 15 seconds.
Glad you stuck around, Maud.
Yeah, the colonel's still here, too. And I've got news after Comrade Labor Boy is done with his pinko spiel.
Nice to see you, too, Sarge. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that organized labor is rallying its forces on behalf of a proposed community hospital in Two Harbors.
Community? Community is code for commie, you know.
You need a hobby, Sarge. Anyways, the medical lobby is trying to destroy efforts to build this hospital. The National Convention of the Boilermakers and Blacksmiths unanimously pledged support of this community health center. Other unions also have swung into the fight.
Why would a medical community fight a new hospital?
It sounds dizzy, but the organized doctors object not only to the fact that the hospital would be owned by a cooperative.
Another code commie word.
But also that the members of the co-op would pay for their health care under a prepayment plan covering all costs. The medical lobby always raises the cry of socialism against any such plan.
Took the words right out of my mouth there, Leon.
See, some of these docs, not all of them, but the medical lobby are afraid a co-op clinic will interfere with the steep fees charged by some specialists. And, Sarge, it'd be my wish to take all the words out of your mouth.
You sound like you don't like the colonel.
One more thing before he takes a load off and sits down. All delegates to the Superior Federation of Labor are urged by President Holger Modine to be present at the next meeting August 5th. Committees will be appointed and plans will be made for the annual Labor Day parade and picnic. It is hoped that there will be good attendance at the meeting.
No, I love a Labor Day parade and I love the picnic.
Oh. Not too socialist for you that everyone brings a casserole or a hot dish and shares the chow?
Sharing food at picnics is not socialism. It's picnicism, which is an Americanism, which is my kind of ism.
Huh. That's an ism he can live-ism with-ism. Rabbit Ray is in with sports, and for some reason, everyone sticking around. We'll try to solve that mystery.
It can't be the free coffee. It's thick as mud.
Here's Patty Page and that doggy in the window on the Gather Round Show.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good home. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale. I read in the papers there are robbers. with flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggy to protect him and scare them away with one bark. I don't want a bunny or a kitty. I don't want a parrot that talks. I don't want a bowl of little fishies. He can't take a goldfish for a walk. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
The Sing and Rage with Patty Page, and How Much Is That Doggy in the Window on KUWS. Hey, Ray.
Oh, hey, King Timothy. Good crowd out in the coffee room, but they're quiet. Good thing. If they start talking politics, they'll be throwing coffee cups at each other.
Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with the sports, brought to you by double-aged, double-mellow Northern Beer, brewed in Superior, in leading taverns everywhere.
Hello, fans of the sporting world. Johnny Antonelli and Lou Burdette must have felt lonely in Ebbets Field Sunday. The two Milwaukee pitchers threw everything they had at the mighty Brooklyn Dodgers. The Braves hurlers subdued the National Leaguers in both ends of a twin bill. But at the plate, it was as if the Braves weren't even there. The bums of Brooklyn swept our guys 3-2 and 2-1 to take a 7.5-game lead over Milwaukee. Only Sid Gordon contributed anything for our Warriors. The left fielder, just recently demoted from the cleanup spot, hit a homer in each game. 23-year-old bonus baby Antonelli mastered the Dodgers for 4 hits in 8 innings until Junior Gilliam opened the frame with an infield single. Pee-wee Reese smacked a three-bagger, and Jackie Robinson hit a double off outfielder Jim Pendleton's knee. Gil Hodges had a long fly to advance Robinson. They walked Roy Campanella, and Carl Ferrillo singled up the middle. Ooh, boy, fans, that was a tough lineup, especially on Pendleton's knee. Hey, Detroit Tiger catcher Matt Batts, a great name for a baseball player, takes full blame for a fight he had with Yankee second baseman Billy Martin. The pair clashed after Martin was tagged out at home. Martin said he was tagged twice, the second time on his nose. Batts says, yep, he did. It's his fault. Imagine Billy Martin getting into a brawl. Huh, can't happen. Two sterling performances by Superior Blues twirlers Charlie Alsop and Charlie Youngcourt put the Blues on the rebound. The duo set down the Grand Forks Chiefs 8-2 and 11-3 on Sunday. Blues manager Bob Latshaw set the plate pace by smacking a pair of two-baggers, driving in 3 runs. Catcher Ron Orlandi was needed on the mound and twice pitched in relief, even getting credit for 1 win. Orlandi may have to turn in his catcher's union card. Tonight is Merchants Night, the biggest night of baseball at Municipal Stadium. Local businesses have bought out the Muni, so all the seats are free. Hey, fans, the Blues need your wholehearted support for the rest of the season. Tonight's the kickoff for that final push, so let's get out. Support your Superior Blues. Last year, 5,500 people turned out. Now, this is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Timmy?
See you at the ballpark tonight. Lou Martin is in next with the latest news on his historic day, July 26, 1953, with the Korean War Armistice taking effect. But first, campers, let's hear Andy Williams in Canadian Sunsets on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Whoa. I was alone, so lonely, and then you came out of nowhere like the sun up from the hills. ski trail, where your kiss filled me with thrill. A weekend in Canada, a change of scene, was the most I bargained discovered you, and in your eyes I found a love that I couldn't ignore. Down came the sun, fast beat my heart. I knew when the sun set from that day.
Andy Williams and Canadian Sunsets on KUWS. Now Lou Martin is back with more on the Korean ceasefire.
Once again, good evening. The secret record of the Panmunjom truce negotiations released today showed the communists will return 12,726 prisoners of war, including 3,313 Americans. The communists gave this breakdown: 8,186 Koreans, 922 British, 228 Turks, and a smaller number from other United Nations forces. The Allies informed the communists that about 5,000 Chinese prisoners and 69,000 North Korean captives will be returned to the Reds in the big exchange of prisoners. We continue our world report from Washington.
This is Jack Bell in the nation's capital. President Eisenhower hailed the Korean truce signing Sunday night with a prayer of thanksgiving, but solemnly declared, quote, "We have won an armistice on a single battleground, not peace in the world. We may not relax our guard nor cease our quest." He made the nationwide television and radio address an hour after the truce was sealed at Panmunjom, ending the 37-month war.
Tonight we greet with prayers of thanksgiving the official news that an armistice was signed almost an hour ago in Korea. For this nation, the cost of repelling aggression has been high. In thousands of homes, it has been incalculable. It has been paid in terms of tragedy. With special feelings of sorrow and of solemn gratitude, we think of those who were called upon to lay down their lives in that far-off land to prove once again that only courage and sacrifice can keep freedom alive upon the earth.
A few moments before he went on the air from the White House, the president, a smile on his face, made a remark which was being echoed by hundreds of thousands of other parents all over America. Quote, "I'm glad this war is over, and I hope my son is coming home soon," he said quietly. His son, Army Major John Eisenhower, has been on active duty in Korea for a year. Peace in Korea has been the president's main objective in his first year in office. He pledged during the campaign to work unceasingly for it. He traveled to the battlefront after he was elected in November to find a way to end the hostilities. He noted that the political conference, the conference at which such delicate issues as unification of North and South Korea will come up, is still ahead. Eisenhower says that for the United States, the cost of repelling aggression in Korea has been high. America renews her pledge of lasting devotion and care to the widows and orphans of the Korean conflict, as well as to the wounded veterans. Eisenhower closed his address with a quotation from the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln, saying it more nearly expressed the true feelings of Americans at this time than any other words ever spoken or written. Said Lincoln, as the end of the Civil War neared, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations."
In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is John Randolph on the Central Korean War Front with this delayed report. I had promised Item Company I would bring them a bottle of whiskey the minute that an armistice was reached. They didn't see me coming until the last 20 yards on the steep, muddy hill. Under my arm like a football, I was carrying the fifth of 100-proof bond, wrapped safely in a dirty GI towel. Sergeant Ippolito spotted me floundering and gasping up the final slope. He looked a long moment, then he started to yell, his voice breaking with excitement. "He's got it! He's got the bottle! It's an armistice, by God, an armistice!" Helmeted heads craned out of bunkers and foxholes, and dirty, bearded faces turned my way, and Ippolito ran down the slope to meet me. A horrible suspicion of doubt crossed his face. He stopped short. "You wouldn't kid us, would you? It's true, ain't it?" I said, "I wouldn't kid you. It's true. It's official. The UN command this afternoon announced an armistice has been agreed upon. They sign it tomorrow at 10 a.m. The ceasefire is 12 hours later, 10 p.m. tomorrow." Another and deeper shadow crossed Ippolito's face. "Tonight? You mean we've got to sweat out tonight? I hope we make it." Then he shoved the awful fear out of his mind, brightened again, and shouted, "Lieutenant, Lieutenant, they got an armistice. He brought the bottle just like he said." The others crowd around now, maybe a dozen of them, to escort to the muddy hole covered with logs that was the company command post. Lieutenant Don Patton, the company exec, leaned out from under the sandbag logs. We shake hands. Ippolito explains our bargain. I hand over the bottle. I tell him, "Whenever you think best." Patton considers. It is 5 p.m. now, Sunday evening. For 29 hours still, these men will be at war, while all the world relaxes and rejoices. 29 hours, 29 eternities, on a hill in North Korea. Until then, Patton put the bottle in an old ammunition box. This is John Randolph with the GIs on the Central Korean Front.
Reverend A.W. Arthur will conduct a Thanksgiving service at 7:30 tonight at the Pilgrim Lutheran Church for the signing of the Panmunjom Truce. That's today's historic news for this July the 26th, 1953.
Thanks, Lou. There is no more appropriate number to play at this time than this classic from Kate Smith on the Evening Gather Round Show. Kate Smith and God Bless America on KUWS.
Jeez. How do you follow something like that, fellas?
Welcome to George G. Newton and the George G. Newton Yearly Agency. So you've got a partner after all these years.
You know, remember when the Japanese surrendered, like we had big prayer services and parties and dancing in the streets and a big hullabaloo, you know? This time, 3 years of war, and I don't know. What do you do?
So you've got a partner after all these years.
You mean the name change? Yeah, Mr. Yearly and I decided to team up. I even moved from the Telegram Building to 16th and Tower. Hey, you know, George G. ain't getting any younger.
Lou's also getting a lot older.
Thanks, Jim. So you're taking it easy then, George?
George G. Newton doesn't know how to take it easy. I'm not spending time in a rocking chair on the back porch petting 8 cats, if that's what you mean.
Cats and their tails hate rocking chairs.
Thanks again, Jim.
Hey, you know, I got this corner lot in the pleasing West End of Superior. This home wants a family to own it. You know, it's got 4 bedrooms, new bath, garage, all yours for a reasonably priced $8,000. And I got this butte, perfect for the young couple just starting a family. Even a retired couple looking to get out of the big old house. It's on the corner of Pennsylvania and 19th Street in Billings Park. Got 5 rooms, all new interior, full basement, hot air heat, sidewall insulation, and it's on 3 lots with an oversized garage. This is our real buy for $5,500. Also got a bit of a fixer-upper in the East End. A 2-story home on 3.5 lots on 2nd Street. This is $1,700. That's all I'm going to tell you about it. You got to come see this bargain for yourself. And finally, the best deal for last, fellas. A 4-family apartment building. Centrally located in a good renting district. Yields good monthly income right now. They're getting $25 and $30 a month per apartment, by golly. And probably get more than that if some plastering and painting's done.
Maybe some rat traps, too.
Not funny, Tim boy. These units are 3, 4, and 5 rooms. The foundation is new. That cost them $3,300 all alone by itself. Full purchase price. Now, hold on to your fedoras, fellas. Full purchase price is $8,500. That's at the George G. Newton Realty. The Newton Yearly Realty Agency. Dial 6623.
Thanks, George.
Now, normally I say bye-bye now, but I'm going to go over and see what everybody's kicking around in the next room.
Probably up to no good scheming and planning the takeover of something or other.
Yes, a nurse, a draft board colonel, a labor guy, and a sports guy.
Throw in a realtor, and you got a mob. Oh, well, as Doris Day would say, que sera, sera, on the Gather Round Show.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be. Que sera, sera.
Doris Day and Kay Sera Sera on the Evening Gather Round Show. Find out anything, Lou?
They all got quiet when I came in.
That's not a good sign.
Now the colonel's coming up.
That's an even worse sign.
And they're all coming up.
I don't know. I'll go to the Blues game tonight.
Well, there's much been going on in here. Stop the shoot. That's what's important. Stop the shoot.
All right, people, just settle down.
Hey, Timmy. See that new flick playing at the Stardust Drive-In?
This is an unusual way to start a takeover of the radio station.
If it wasn't for the ball game, that's where I'd be going tonight.
I means to tell you, it's a great show to take your favorite girl, if you knows what I mean.
That sheet guy.
Just so happens, I'm free tonight.
I'm married tonight.
People, would you settle down? I've got something important to say.
Hey, you gotta go check it out. Hubba, hubba, man.
Hey, it's MGM's big musical.
But it isn't the music that's getting me to go.
It's called Dangerous When Wet.
I love musicals, and I don't eat much popcorn.
Yeah, sorry, Maud, I'm married tonight, too. In fact, I'm married every night.
It's called Dangerous When Wet, with Esther Williams and Fernando Lomas.
I means to tell you, anytime they get Esther in a swimming suit, I'm heading out to see it.
MGM always seems to figure out how to get Esther Williams in a swimming suit.
All right, boys and girls, are we done yet? Because I've got a letter here from a couple of local GIs in Korea. It'll break your heart, by golly, so just listen up.
But Esther Williams...
Flatnap, McDougal. These boys are putting it all on the line against the Reds in Korea, and all you can talk about is Esther Willis and Esther Dillis and this and that. Do you ever think they're talking about women in bathing suits over there?
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'll give you that one. But this is from two superior boys. Sergeant John Compton and Sergeant Jerry Miller. Here. Dear sirs. See, they're good boys. They call us sirs. We wonder if you can do us a favor. We're two boys from Superior over here in Korea, biding our time. They're heroes. That's what they are. Genuine heroes. Anyway, it continues. What we want mostly is mail from home. If you could put an ad in your paper stating that if anyone would care to write us here, we would appreciate it very, very much. Lonely soldiers, far from home. I mean, it just breaks your heart.
What's their address?
Can you hold your horses for just another minute?
The colonel's reading here, Timmy. Like, let him finish.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Annoying Real Estate Guy. Anywho, it goes on to say that life is pretty rugged here, and there's nothing better to ease the situation than, well, news from hometown folks. Also, I would like to know what the price would be to have your newspaper sent to me for 6 months. The paper would be great morale booster for us. Sincerely yours, Sergeant John Compton and Sergeant Jerry Miller.
I can tell you right now that Labor will send them the evening telegram free for as long as they're over there, courtesy of the Printers Union.
And the Red Cross will pay for the ad in the paper so they get letters. Poor lonely boys. I'll write them myself.
Send him a picture of Esther Williams and say it's you. You'll get a date for sure.
Would you people just button up? We got a P.S. here. P.S. We would prefer you have unmarried women between the ages of 18 and 23 write to us.
18 to 23, eh?
Poor, lonely, and very smart GIs, if you ask me.
Sorry, Maud.
Mature women are never appreciated as they should be.
Okay, campettes, get busy writing. And for our brave sergeants in Korea, this is a new one from Sam Cooke, and You Send Me on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Darling, you send me. I know you send me. Darling, you send me. Honest you do. Honest you do. Whoa, you thrill me. I know you thrill me. Darling, you thrill me. Honest you do. At first I thought it was infatuation, but ooh, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. Whoa, you send me. I know you send me. I as you do, not as you do. Whoa. I thought it was infatuation, but ooh, it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I know, I know, I know. Send me, I know you. Send me. Send me honest you do.
Sam Cooke and You Send Me on KUWS.
We have a question before us. Was the Korean War a win, lose, or draw now that we have an armistice?
That begs another question. Why isn't anybody celebrating? I mean, the fighting's over. Our boys aren't going to have to be in harm's way. 3 years of fighting. No more harm's way.
Well, there should be a celebration. We won. Simple as that. I mean, outnumbered, outgunned by the Chinese Red Hordes, and we still had the line at the 38th parallel.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I know you don't know. That's why nobody wants to know you.
Look, it's hard to call it a win when 35,000 of our brothers are killed, and that's just the Americans killed.
The lesson there is that we weren't prepared. The North Koreans came flooding over the border. We didn't have the trained troops and weapons to respond.
You can never have too many guns when it comes to the commies. But we racked up some pretty good kill numbers on the Reds, so I'd say we won.
But this isn't a game. There isn't a scorecard here. No points recorded. They invaded South Korea. We and the United Nations came to the rescue. We kicked them out of South Korea. They kicked us out of North Korea. Communism didn't go away. Stalemate. Right, Maud?
You're asking a nurse if someone won in a war? You may not believe this because of my youthful appearance, but I bandaged men in the trenches of France during the First World War. We saw too much pain to say anyone wins in a war.
It's those pinko, wishy-washy politicians, especially those Brits and Frenchies saying we can't drop a few A-bombs on the Red Chinese. That's why we didn't win.
I still think we should celebrate. Maybe not like we did in 45. Still be happy it's over.
I'm with George. It's been a long 3 years.
Future, guys. You know, that's what matters. Look at East Germany. Look at them now. Is the Iron Curtain the next Korea? Do we sit tight and hope the Russians got the message by our stand in Korea? And then what? What about China? What about Indochina? Boy, the French sure have their hands full with the Viet Minh.
You say all this and you want to celebrate?
But what George is saying is that we made a stand.
And the fighting has stopped.
Yeah.
And our boys are coming home.
That's why we should make merry. You know, I remember August 14th, 1945, when we had Ernie Rokinen and Buddy Budnick in with the accordion and the guitar.
Oh, man, I don't think my campers like accordions.
Oh, here we are.
Oh, man.
Last time we formed a conga line. That was fun.
Let's make it boy, girl, boy, girl.
That means McGoogle first, then the nurse fist, then McPaulson, then McMichaels next, since he wants to be a nurse and wears a dress. Then McNewton, then the pinko labor guy, and then...
Stop calling me a pinko bub, or we'll go outside and settle this like men.
Yeah, well, now you've got to be the girl, since it's boy, girl, boy, girl, boy,
I
girl,
means
boy,
to
girl.
Tell ya.
Okay, campers, the war is over. We're signing off now and promise to be back tomorrow, same time, same campground, to pitch your tent, campers. So the good Lord willing and the Colonel doesn't call the labor guy Pinko Bub. For Lou Martin and the gang, I'm Tim Michaels, the one in the nylons and in the conga line. All right, here we go.
I go last. I don't want anyone touching my conga.
A shame. It's such a nice conga, too.
You've been listening to Radio Superior, July 27th, 1953. An original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio.
Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players were news correspondents Duke Skorich as Max Jordan, Paul Guggenheimer as Daryl Berrigan, John Munson was Lyle C. Wilson and Arthur Brisbane, Jim Packard played John Randolph, while Stan Turner and Gil Halstead played themselves. Pat Kelly played correspondents James Marlowe and Jack Bell, as well as Jay Fisher, the labor guy. Tom Martinson was Colonel Raffley. Dr. Albert Katz played George G. Newton. Maud Fiske was performed by Kathy Bergren. And Dr. Helmy Harrington of the Harrington Arts Center is the one playing the accordion. All events reported on Radio Superior 1953 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, joining the conga line. Thanks for listening.
Olay!
Who's got the cold hands on my conga?